I mean, I don't know. I also don't think it's a bad idea to have the day off. I mean, the city of Cincinnati has decided to give all their kids the day off, as Laura pointed out in What You Need to Know yesterday. So, I mean, could be a passive-aggressive shot, though, I would say, by Steve Mason. What say you, Scott Kaplan? Doesn't sound like Scott Kaplan is there, because usually he would be – oh, because usually I'd be hearing him going, woo!
Yeah. You didn't hear me say any of that?
Nope, nothing. Not a
oh
thing.
My God, this whole time I've been like, bound, down, on, don't. Bound, down, on, don't.
Nope, no, no. I definitely bound, would have heard down, that and been don't. Like, yeah. Why are you doing that? But go ahead.
Well, because it's like, that's the song. Is it Eminem's front? Is it Eminem's front? It's a put on. Don't, down, on, don't. Don't, down, on, don't. You don't get that one? You don't hear that
I hear
song?
It. Yeah, I hear it.
I love your bird sound effects.
Yeah.
It was also top of mind for me today. Is George going to go deeper into his bag of bird sounds? Because you gave us a crow, I believe. And was it a hawk?
I gave you a falcon. Yeah.
Oh, falcon?
Yeah.
And what was the other bird?
I think we did an eagle, perhaps.
It was
well.
A vulture.
Vulture. Oh, vulture. Vulture and a falcon. That's
vulture
what we
and
did,
falcon.
Yes.
Yeah, and it wasn't just the noise that the bird makes when communicating.
Right.
It was also the sound effect of when the bird is coming in. For prey.
Yeah.
Just strong, like George. Strong.
Yeah. Yeah. Did Mason take a passive-aggressive shot at me?
Kind of, sort of. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Mason did kind of take a little bit of a shot at you. But I think he was upset. I think he was hurt, man. I think Mason comes on the air the day after the NFC Championship game.
Right.
When, sadly, everyone saw it. On television or heard it on television or was listening on 710 or
right.
Whatever. You heard the Niner fans.
Yes.
What Mason tried to do, though, and I think this is a very smart move, as a leader in the Ramilly, George.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
When you have the sort of platform Mason has, you come on the air and you debunk what has been said as fact.
Oh, see, I would disagree. Right. Oh. I don't think he's trying to debunk anything. I think he was providing misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Well, it may be misinformation.
You better cancel your Spotify account for misinformation.
Yeah. We'll get to that some other time.
Well, I mean, listen. Don't even get me started on that because I love Neil Young. I love Neil Young.
All right. You said don't get you started on it. I didn't.
And yet you're going to do it anyway.
I'm not going to do it. Don't get me started.
Yes.
Okay. Back to Mason taking a shot at you. How do you feel? How do you feel about
this? It wasn't really that big a deal. Like him saying he's not going to be the guy to do this. That's fine. Okay. Well, we're also not going to be the guys that are going to tell you something that didn't actually happen. So there's that.
I would do what Mason did. I got to be honest with you, George. I'd come on the air if I were the leader of the Ramilly.
Uh-huh.
Self-proclaimed, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
If I had those season tickets, if I spent that amount of money on a PSL, and I had this platform, I'd come on the air Monday and I go, hey, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Okay. I don't know who said 60-40 in favor of 49er fans. Okay. But I was there.
Yeah.
And at worst, it was 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would do.
Okay.
If I were a self-proclaimed leader within the Ramilly.
All right.
Fair
enough.
So you lie.
Lindsay, lying is a very delicate word here because there's outright lying when you know you're telling a lie. Mm-hmm. And then there's lying when you believe your own truth. You understand? Does this make sense to you, Lindsay?
I mean, I guess.
I mean, Lindsay,
that
baseball.
It helps you sleep at night.
Well, but Lindsay,
a
baseball.
A lie is a lie, sir.
If I go to the game and in my mind, I see 50-50, I'm coming back on the air Monday screaming 50-50. So, you know, some people may call it a lie. I might call it my own truth.
When you tell one lie, it leads to another. So you tell two lies to cover for each other. Remember that song?
No.
No?
But no.
That was a kid's song. Were you too old for that? Is that what happened?
I don't know. I mean, is that a kid's song that you and me would have had as kids, or is that a kid's song?
I mean,
for
yeah.
Our kids?
I mean, I definitely had that as a kid. I'm pretty sure that was part of like some sort of Sesame Street thing I saw probably as a kid.
Lindsay, Laura, you guys know that song George just sang? Because
I haven't heard it, but
they're too young though. That's different.
George, I like the song.
I'm
though,
Googling it as we are talking.
Can you the lyrics though one more time, George?
When you tell one lie, it leads to another. So you tell two lies to cover for each other. Then you tell three lies and, oh, brother, you're in trouble up to your ears.
Oh, my God. What true words those are.
Yeah.
See? Gee, that sounds very old. What was that show you used to watch, the educational one? Because you said you didn't watch Schoolhouse Rock.
It's an anti-lying PSA commercial.
Oh. There you go.
That's a good PSA.
What year that is? Because, I mean, George, old guy here, you know, that sounded pre-HD. That sounded very cassette recording. Young guy like me, of course. I wouldn't know that.
Mid-80s.
Mid-80s. There you go. Perfect.
Yeah, I wasn't even born yet.
Mid-80s, you were like already in high school.
I wasn't even born yet, George.
Oh, he was lying already. That's the problem.
You were telling three lies to cover for each other and up to your ears or whatever the hell it said.
Though that is a great song. I swear to you, I've never heard it.
Yeah.
I love the lyrics.
Do you think I'm alone, though? Do you think anyone else was familiar with that PSA in the listening audience?
Got to be somebody. Got to be somebody out there that goes, Sedano, I hear it. I know it.
And I also kind of nailed it, right? Like the tune, like I, you know, in the sense of what the tone of the tune was. Not that I could sing, but that I had it on the right pitch and beat.
Don't be so hard on yourself. You carried a nice tune, George Sedano.
Yeah, no. To cover for each other, tell three lies. Oh,
guys,
brother!
Like really,
you're
rocking
in trouble
out,
up to your ears.
This is a rock out kind of a jam, Lindsay. Because
he's,
you know
what? Very
these lyrics,
serious about
these
it.
Lyrics are very meaningful. Yeah, you know, it's very true.
So anyway, you and Steve Mason have been telling lies to cover for each other.
Kind of, sort of. I suppose that's the case.
That's what I would say. Yeah.
You know, I suppose.
And when you tell one lie, as I mentioned, it leads to another.
Which is why, George, I got to tell you the truth here about lying. Here's the truth about lying. You ready?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't lie anymore in my life.
Get out of here. I don't believe that crap.
What I'm telling you is an absolute truth. I don't lie anymore. I used to be a guy who would try and cover, you know, hey, you know what? This isn't worth the trouble. I'm going to try and lie my way out of this thing. You know, but I have found that the fastest path from like A to Z is just pure honesty. Just tell the truth, 100% the truth.
Right. No matter what.
Yes. Yes.
We're just adults. We're adults. Treat each other like adults. I can understand if you were like a, you know, a kid, even in like, and what I mean by kid, like just like someone young, you know what I mean? Like you don't have to be like a child kid. Like, you're young, and you make mistakes, and you say stupid stuff, and you try to lie. And here's, it's funny, I had this conversation, not to get too far off the deep end here, but I don't know where we're kind of going down an interesting rabbit hole here. But, and we will get to sports at some point, I promise. But I've learned that in life, you officially have matured when you stop blaming other people for your mistakes, and you just take ownership of it yourself. You know
oh, no,
I, mean?
Like, I still do that. No. I still blame other people.
Then you're
people.
Not mature
yet.
All right.
No, I still blame other people. I just stopped lying. It's just different.
I mean, okay, but that's kind of all in the same breath, isn't it?
It is, but what happens?
Because if you're blaming someone else or something you did, then you're kind of lying, right? Am I wrong here, ladies?
No. Because, I mean.
No? You agree with Kaplan?
I mean, I don't agree with Kaplan. But I do not agree with Kaplan.
I don't. I wouldn't say that I agree with him, but I will say when you leave things out, it's different.
You're
you know?
Omitting. You're not.
Yes, exactly.
Really
it's not lying.
But no, omitting is absolutely lying. What are you talking about?
No, you're right.
No, it's not.
Dang,
no, it's
right.
not.
Omitting is lying.
My little Jimmy Cricket thing or Jimmy whatever.
They're two different things because if somebody said to you, like. Did you? I'm trying to think of an example. Okay. I just don't think it's always directly lying.
Okay. If you are intentionally leaving things out or omitting things, yes, you are lying. If you happen to forget or whatever.
Oh, right.
You know,
right.
Like,
if you forget, sure. if you're intentionally doing it, that is the right answer, Lauren.
Intentionally,
yes.
Well, let me tell you guys what happened to me. This is a true story. This changed my life.
Right. Are you going to intentionally omit things?
I'm not. I'm going to tell you guys a straight up truth here. Okay. And it's a very adult story. So everybody get ready. Here goes.
Uh-oh. Is it safe for air?
I'm
going to
clean
fire,
it up.
Right?
I'm going to clean it up.
Okay, good. Because you know I don't.
Yeah, I don't want to get you in trouble, Laura. And get me in trouble, too. And George. And Lindsay Baseball.
Yeah.
So I'm on a date with a woman. This is a few years back. Probably about
pre-Rachel. PR.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm on a date with this woman, and we get to this part of the conversation. Tell me if you've had this conversation. You're dating, so the question is, when was the last time you were with somebody else intimately? Okay? You guys, have you ever had this conversation with somebody you're dating?
Yes.
No,
have to.
I haven't.
Okay.
I don't care about that. Yeah, like that's not a conversation that tends to come up.
Yeah, anything before me. Like,
right. What am I going to do if you didn't know me? Right. Like, yeah. Like, I think that's wasting energy.
No, well, let me tell you what
this woman's answer was.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm with Lindsay on this.
Her answer was this. She goes like this to me. She goes, "Do you want me to tell you the honest truth?" I said, "Yes. We're dating. Okay. We're trying to figure out this relationship. When was the last time you were with somebody intimately?" And she said, "Honest truth." I said, "Yes." She said, "This morning."
That's funny.
It is funny. It's very funny.
Then you dumped her, right?
No,
I
no,
love
no,
her honesty.
No. Let me tell you what happened. So then she comes back to me. And she says, "Okay, I was honest. When was the last time you were intimate with somebody?" I said, "Well, I haven't been, of course. I mean, since the day we started dating, since our first date, I have not been intimate with anybody else. We had a long distance relationship." She said, "Come on, are you serious?" I said, "Okay, no, I'm lying. But you were honest with me. You told me you did with somebody this morning. True story. I also was with somebody else this morning. Totally true story." Once she told me the truth and I told her the truth, I felt this weight of the world lift off my shoulders like, telling the truth feels great. And
right.
From that day forward, George Sedano, it's
only
been about 4 years.
That's when you spun it forward, to be honest?
That's when I started. I stopped lying from that day forward. That was 4 years ago.
You've never lied in 4 years?
Not intentionally.
I was going to say, that in itself
is
a lie.
Yep.
That is a totally true story. She told me this morning, I replied with, because it was totally true, I too this morning, and we had... Oh, a moment of honesty. It was great. Loved it.
And y'all didn't work out. Gotcha.
No, actually, I don't want to really discuss you guys what happened after that. But
Yeah, can we not?
Yeah. You guys usually tell me TMI.
I was going to say, I'm proud of you because you stopped. Normally, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've learned. I mean, listen. All right. Well, there you go.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, this was all because we were saying Steve Mason perhaps was lying. So here's that.
Tangents, George.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to remember how we got here, but okay. I mean, it was a good
story. Steve Mason saying that it wasn't 60-40 Niners fans turned into admissions of honesty.
Yeah. Yeah. And we got a bird sound in. I mean, that's a good segment right there.
Not just one bird sound. You had bird sitting on tree communicating, and you had bird flying in, swooping in for prey. This is a solid segment of Sports Talk Radio.
All right, coming up next, the NFL is riddled in scandal. So many scandals, we probably won't be able to fit it into one segment, but we'll try anyway. That's coming up next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
I kind of like this song. I'm not a huge, like, super-duper Beatles fan, as everyone knows. Like, I'm like, they're fine. You know, I know that they're, like, arguably the greatest band ever. It's just not my cup of tea, but I do like this song.
It's a little before our time, George. But
I mean, all their music is pretty much before our time, for sure.
But my mom had a box of, again, I always forget, which one's a 45, which one's a 33?
45 is the small one.
Yeah, my mom had boxes of little ones, the 45s. Mm-hmm. She had every Beatles song, she had every Beatles album, and as a kid, I was probably like 10 years old, so this is figure like 1980. I remember looking through all this stuff and thinking it was all garbage. I wish... And I don't know, knowing my mom, she's kind of a hoarder like I am too, and a little bit of a hoarder.
I thought you were going to say something else. I'm like, bro, it's your mom, bro.
No, hoarder.
Okay, thank you. Good Lord.
Yeah, I know. That's
especially after the conversation we just had.
Right. It's one of those words where there better be something after that.
Yeah.
You know?
I was like, bro, it's your mama.
Right. I needed the dir, you know?
Yes.
But I'm trying to not be such a hoarder, okay, anymore.
Yes. Yes.
But I wonder if she still got those. I bet you think those things are worth a lot of money nowadays.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. By the way, speaking of things that are worth a lot of money, 710 ESPN has your tickets to see the battle for the Lombardi Trophy. Keep listening every hour for the Super Sounder. We just heard one, actually, in the last break. And, you know, spoiler alert, they will happen in the breaks. When you hear it, be caller number 7 at 877-710-ESPN, and you qualify to win a pair of super tickets for the big game. The 710 Super Ticket Giveaway from your championship radio station, 710 ESPN. Our 4 o'clock winner and the sounder that just happened in that first segment was Fernando Gonzalez from Oxnard. So congratulations to him. There'll be a winner in the 5 o'clock hour, a winner in the 6 o'clock hour. Again, those are people that just qualify for chances to win tickets to the big game. And during our 3 local shows, Travis and Sliwa, beginning at 9:55, Mason and Ireland, and us in through the evening, you will have your chance every hour. So make sure you're listening all day.
Fernando Gonzalez, sayuros, my friends. How are you? 805 Oxnard, representing. Glad you guys are listening up that way. Way to go, man.
What did you say? Sawa?
Sayuros, my friend. How are you?
Saludos.
Hola, sayuros. Saludos.
No, salud. Lu, saludos.
Saludos, my friend.
Only one
you sound
L.
Sound like you were talking like about the money, euros, like euros.
Yeah. No. You. Why did you put two L's there and make it a Y?
Well, because the name Fernando.
Right.
When I was a kid.
Yes.
Billy Crystal did this bit on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Fernando, you remember?
Yeah.
The Hideaway.
Fernando, yes.
And that's what he would say. He would say, "Sayuros, my friends. How are you? You look
marvelous,
darling."
Yes.
Right. That's how he would say it. He would say, "Sayuros, my friend." But he was saying things wrong because, as he said on the bit, I have a Mexican mouth and American teeth. Something. He had a funny comment like that where he's got this and that, you know. So I screwed it all up, but it was funny.
Okay.
Kind of had to be there.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So speaking of screwing things up, boy, the NFL is in deep trouble here.
Seems that way.
Let me explain something to you. I mean, do you know? I mean, you know this, but I'm just saying, like, just for hyperbole here and posterity. Do you know how hard it is to push Tom Brady's quote-unquote official retirement off of page one today? Like, it has to be a monster, massive story. And this Brian Flores story is a massive story because it is not only racial in nature, right? But then you also have the element of integrity of the game also being questioned. So you have two humongous accusations, okay, against not just one but several teams, and not all the teams are being levied the accusation of racism. For example, with the Dolphins, Brian Flores' old team, he's basically just saying that their owner is a buffoon. You know, his words, not, you know, their allegations, not mine. That he is basically has zero integrity for the game. And then, while he's there, he's basically telling you every other team and the league is racially insensitive at best and, at worst, racist.
Yeah, and then there's the Bill Belichick screw-up, which is kind of a weird part of the story, where Belichick thinks that he's texting Flores to congratulate him on getting the New York Giants.
He thought he was texting Brian Daboll.
Oh, you see, I thought the texts were to Flores.
No.
Flores is like, "Coach, do you have the right guy?" And then
No. The texts were to Flores, but Belichick thought he was texting Brian Daboll.
Yes, right. Okay. So the point is that Belichick gets put into this thing also because Belichick thinks, "Hey, congratulations, you got the job." And Flores is like, "Do you have the right guy here, Coach? Because I'm not sure we're on the same page here, you know?" And so, yeah, when you've got Belichick's name in it, you've got accusations of racism, you've got accusations of an owner trying to essentially bribe you to tank games, you've got an owner trying to coerce you into violating league policy when it comes to tampering with other players. I mean, these are strong, strong allegations. And the thing I thought right away, George, was, hey, Brian, for a guy who just had an NFL head coaching job who wants to get another one, man, you're making it really hard on yourself. And later on, he actually said, look, I know. I mean, I'm a guy who wants to be a head coach in the NFL, and I may blow up my entire career with what I'm doing right now, but I think this is bigger than me. This is a story where every year we think the NFL is going to hire more minority candidates, particularly for head coach and front office positions. And it's just not happening. I mean, that's just it's just a reality and a fact. It is just not happening.
Yeah. And okay, so for just to kind of catch you up, right? Like, I think that the text message part of it and the Bill Belichick part of it, the detail around that is extraordinary. So I'm going to read you the text messages, the screenshots, okay? They have actual screenshots in this deposition, 58 pages, okay, that Brian Flores and his attorneys filed. And it's a text from Bill Belichick. And it says, sounds like you've landed. Congrats. To which Flores responds, did you hear something I didn't hear? Giants? ! Bill Belichick writes. Flores writes, I interview on Thursday. I think I have a shot at it. Belichick then responds, got it. I hear from Buffalo and NYG that you are their guy. I hope it works out if you want to. Flores responds, that's definitely what I want. I hope you're right, coach. Thank you. And then he realizes, wait a second, coach, are you talking to Brian Flores or Brian Daboll? Just making sure. And then Belichick responds, sorry, I effed this up. I double checked and misread the text. Mm-hmm. I think they're naming Daboll. I'm sorry about that, BB, to which Flores responds, thanks, Bill. Yeah. Now, I'm going to lay out a different layer to the story that nobody's talking about.
Okay, let's have it.
Now, this is complete reckless speculation on my part.
Oh, like, I like complete reckless speculation. Go ahead, man.
So reckless that I could never confirm this without the subject of this commentary actually coming out and admitting that this is the case, because this subject would clearly, based off those text messages, have plausible deniability. But let me ask you a question.
All right.
Okay. Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
How many times has he had run-ins and issues with the National Football League?
There's been a few along the way, over the course of the last 20 plus years in New England. There's been several.
Okay.
I mean, there's Spygate.
Correct.
There's Deflategate.
Right.
There's probably other gates that I'm not familiar with off the top of my head.
There's some gates. Right. There's at least two gates.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what division do the Buffalo Bills play in?
Same division as the Patriots and the Dolphins, AFC East.
Correct. Also, what is the team that he used to be the defensive coordinator for?
The New York Giants?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, who didn't hire him at one point when they could have?
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying that this was intentional. I would say that 99.9999999 infinity percent that Bill Belichick clearly made a mistake here. But there is 1/1,000,000th of a percentage point that makes me believe in the back of my head, yeah, you know, maybe I kind of want Brian Flores to blow up the league and blow up the two teams that I despise.
Those two teams being the Bills and the Patriots?
And the Giants.
Oh, the Giants.
Yeah.
Why do you hate the Giants? Oh, Bill
because
Belichick
they didn't hire
hates the
him
Giants.
When they
oh,
could
Bill
have.
Belichick. Oh, you were in character there. I lost that part of it. Okay, I gotcha. You think Belichick wants to blow up the Giants because he's resenting them 20-plus years later after six Super Bowls in New England?
I'm not saying that this is like at the forefront. Again, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Do I believe that 1/1,000,000th of a percentage point that maybe there was some intent behind it? Like, oh, you know, maybe I can get back at the NFL. I can kind of screw over the Giants and the Bills. You know?
This is, as you just
and,
said.
And, by the way, also inform one of my assistants that he's getting wronged.
Okay. I like that you started this all with, this is complete reckless speculation. I like that. Because I think this is an innocent coincidence that is now becoming humiliating. That Belichick types into his phone, Brian, and he's got Daboll and he's got Flores, and his mind is on Daboll, but his phone is on Flores, and I mean, have you ever made a mistake like this where
sure.
you're talking to the wrong person?
Yeah, you've said it. Listen, Lindsay Fulton, producer of this show, when she was the producer of Mason in Ireland, whether it was her, she's done it before, Mason's done it before, where they have sent a group text that has included me instead of Jorge Briones.
Oh, Oh, different Jorge.
Yeah.
See, I just typed in Jorge in my phone. I went to Sedano before Briones. That's what I think. Maybe I'm being naive here. Okay, maybe I don't.
No, no, no. There's the chances. I just told you. Did you hear me? The chances of it being a mistake.
Of a chance.
Yeah. 99.9999999%. It was
no,
just
you said
an
infinity
mistake.
After the last nine. That's
right,
what
infinity.
You said.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is an unfortunate and now humiliating, innocent mistake that Belichick made. The question you got to ask yourself right now about Brian Flores is, has he now just destroyed his potential career as a head coach in the NFL? Has he made himself unhireable by the NFL? Is he going to have...
At least by the current group of owners, yes. Does that mean that a new owner that comes in won't hire him? I don't think that means that. The Broncos are up for sale. If someone who's not part of the quote-unquote good old boys club comes in and buys that team, then I think he has still a small chance. But I would say he's already said it. I don't need to tell you. He's told you that there's a good chance he has coached his last game in the NFL, but he feels that this is more important than that.
Well, I thought it was interesting the way the lawsuit starts out. I'm going to presume that everybody who's tuning in this afternoon has not taken the time to actually go through and read the lawsuit. I've only read probably 5 to 10 of the 58 pages, but they started out with, hey, it's day one of Black History Month. They
Correct.
Started out with a quote from Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah.
And the first like few paragraphs are, hey, this is Black History Month, and Martin Luther King Jr. fought for equality all these years ago, and here's where we are today in the NFL. And so this was a very, very calculated risk, at least for his career, for Brian Flores. He's fighting now a much bigger battle than just trying to find a head coaching job.
Oh, I don't think there's any question, but I like that he is taking on this battle. I think that somebody needed to do it because we've kind of all thought the Rooney Rule, while the spirit of it is, of course, 100% in the right place, and you know the Steelers went and abided by their own rule when hiring Mike Tomlin when their coaching vacancy became available. And by the way, they will tell you the story that Mike Tomlin was certainly not near the top of their list, but he blew them away. But there's plenty of coaches, and Scott, you know this, you've covered this league for a long time, that will tell you, I don't even know if I'm going to do these interviews anymore because it's just a sham. So,
yeah. And they say that, I guess part of Flores' claim is that he was interviewed by the Giants before they even really hired a general manager. So for him, that was just some symbolic interview just so that they could say, yeah, we interviewed a man of color.
Well, that's and right. He's alleging that in 2019, when he became the coach of the Dolphins, that John Elway and his group basically arrived disheveled and somewhat still inebriated, perhaps, from the
night
before.
Yeah, well, that's not surprising. I mean, that's kind of par for the course. That part of it doesn't surprise me at all.
Okay, well, I don't know John Elway like that, but okay. All right, well, here's the other part. We haven't even gotten to the stuff about the integrity of the game, because this is certainly the biggest part of it, the racial allegations. But I think the owner of the Dolphins is in huge trouble. And here's what happens when guys are in huge trouble and the NFL's in huge trouble. People start trying self-preservation. And I don't think this is just the end. I don't think this is the end of this. This is only scratching the surface. This thing is going to get way worse as far as the owners and the NFL is concerned, because we saw that with the Gruden thing a couple of months ago, that this is just going to continue to unravel on them. We'll get into the allegations about issues with integrity of the game and how it affects the fans directly. We'll get to that in a second. By the way, this portion of the show is presented by Alignment Health Plan, changing healthcare one person at a time. Don't forget, we got Jerry West talking smack about the Lakers. We'll have that this hour as well. Stick around. We're back in 2.5 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Sedano Cat with you on 710 ESPN. So the big story of the day is the Brian Flores lawsuit of the NFL. And I think our pal Eric Herrera, who tweets us, says it best. Flores is going against a billion-dollar Goliath. I'd say Flores will go down in history, but somebody will complain about making them feel uncomfortable, and it will be erased from the books. I don't think so. I think that this thing... Like, I look, the NFL had to admit they were – now, years later, they had to admit they were wrong about Colin Kaepernick. I think that this is different in the sense of there's – you know, and maybe I'm forgetting specifics about the Kaepernick situation, but he's got documentation. Like, he's got screenshots of Bill Belichick telling him Brian Daboll got the job 3 days before his interview.
Yeah, listen, I got to say, I'm a little confused by all of this now. I'm going through and I'm trying to reread the actual complaint. And I was... And
forget
I guess
the complaint. You want me just to show you the stuff that, that everyone else has already given, that I put out there, like the reports or no?
But here's, here's the thing. I think Brian Flores, you just mentioned the name Kaepernick, and that's exactly what I've been thinking, is that Colin Kaepernick was excommunicated from the NFL. You're right. The NFL, years later, Roger Goodell, with egg on his face, had to say, hey, we were wrong. Okay, the NFL, we were just wrong. We were insensitive, and we admit that now. And what can I tell you, man? A couple of years ago, we felt this way. Now we feel this way. That's the way Roger Goodell made it seem. I think Brian Flores is going to be to coaching what Colin Kaepernick is, was to players. He's going to do something or fight something bigger than just trying to compete for his next head coaching job. He admitted, Flores, I realize this is probably going to hurt my career as an NFL head coach anyway, really badly. I don't know a lot of owners around the NFL that are going to be happy with an owner who goes, yeah, we hired this guy, even though he's suing the league and humiliating everybody and telling everybody what everybody already really knows anyway, which is that the league has done an absolutely horrendous job of hiring qualified people who are minority candidates, but he's going to be to coaching what Kaepernick is to players.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Before anyone starts yelling and screaming about this, like that, you know, oh, blah, 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 he got, because I've seen this already on social media, okay, where it's, oh, yeah, whoops, you know, he was hired because of the Rooney Rule. He was also fired after having two winning seasons. He was all, and here, this is where we'll get to. He was also hired and was told to tank, which we all knew at the time, three seasons ago, they were tanking. But now we have allegations that the owner of the team told him, please lose games so we can have the best draft pick possible. I will offer you $100,000
right,
for every loss.
Right, right.
$100,000. So now what happens is, beyond him just being upset, right? Like, Bill Belichick telling him via text, mistakenly or not, right? Like, we're assuming it's mistakenly, that Brian Daboll has got a job that he is going to interview for 3 days from now, set him off. And it would set anyone off. If you knew that you were being trotted in as some sort of token interview to satisfy a rule, you would be pissed about that. So, of course, at that point, you're like, you know what? The hell with all this. I'm going to uncover all of it. And he did. And then that led to the stuff with the Broncos, where he alleged about John Elway and his group. And then, you know, from when he was a coaching candidate the first time around. And the owner of the team, Stephen Ross, was offering him $100,000 per loss. And then there's the other story where in the January of 2020, Stephen Ross invites him to his yacht, right? To Ross's yacht. He invites Flores. And he's like, hey, so there's this prominent quarterback going to come here. I need you to, you know, kind of chat with him so we can try to convince him to come play with us. That prominent quarterback, while not named, seems fairly obvious that it's Tom Brady.
Right.
Who was still under contract in January, even though they were they had lost to the New England Patriots. And because Flores had a relationship with Tom Brady, and Flores like, oh, hell no. I'm not getting caught doing this crap. Mm-hmm.
Right, that's tampering.
Because you're the billionaire. I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
If you get excommunicated from the NFL, right, you'll survive.
Well,
I may not. I'm a first-year head coach.
Right, right. Owners don't kick out other owners, you know? I mean, these owners, one thing about NFL owners that we have learned over the years, and I say we, I mean everybody in L.A., because anybody who watched the Rams try and get to L.A. and then the battle between the Chargers and the Raiders figuring out who was going to get to L.A., the one thing you know about NFL owners is they take care of their own. They are a private fraternity of 32 individual guys, and they take care of their own. And by the way, here's another case in point. Look what happened in Washington. I mean, we all want to know what's in all those emails. John Gruden's the guy who lost his career over it, but Daniel Snyder, this was his mess, and the owners have squelched all of that. So the owners take care of the owners.
Right.
And
so if you were him,
Flores is like, I'm not part of it. I can't be part of this.
Right. Because think about it in 2020. He's gone through his first season. They've gone 5-11. Okay. And you know, the owner's already upset with him, sort of, right? Because he didn't get the number one pick, which is what they wanted. But I don't blame him there either. Self-preservation. What's to say he doesn't get David Culley'd in that spot, right?
Well,
like, now
yeah.
that we're armed with that and knowing what happened there, right? So then he's being asked to tamper.
Right.
And
right.
he's like, dude, I'm a first-time head coach. Like, what are you doing? But if you want to talk to this prominent quarterback, which we all assume is Tom Brady, you do it.
Well, but here's the thing about Stephen Ross. And again, I don't assume that anybody listening knows what I'm about to tell you, but here's the connection. So Stephen Ross is a big Michigan guy.
Yeah, no, I think some people know that because he's been tied to Harbaugh a bunch.
Yeah, so here's Stephen Ross.
And by the way, Harbaugh decided who was the Dolphins. He was rumored to go to the Dolphins immediately, within hours of this story, is now going to become the Vikings head coach, according to reports.
Yeah, so Ross being a big Michigan guy, and Ross being the owner of the Dolphins, and him wanting to swim in the big, you know, the big ocean of, let's win. Like, we don't win. Our fan base has dwindled. Our games aren't sold out the way they once were. There's no excitement around this team. But if we get Tom Brady, and hey, I know Tom Brady because he's a Michigan guy. I'm a Michigan guy. We got that relationship. When you're ultra wealthy, you all kind of run in the same circles. So I've been able to organize a meeting with Tom Brady, and I need you to use your relationship with Tom Brady to get Tom to come here to the Dolphins. And the way Flores makes it sound is, hey, look, hold on a second. I am a man of integrity, okay? I am not going to tamper, especially I'm not messing with Bill Belichick. No chance. And according to Flores, he leaves the yacht. Brady shows up later. That's according to the allegations.
Right, and here's the other part. Remember when he was fired, what Stephen Ross, the owner, said about Brian Flores?
The part where he's like a guy who's a complete pain in the ass in an unworkable situation.
Right.
He's terribly verbally abusive. Like, they said that he would tell Tua, the quarterback, dude, if I would have known that you're this bad, I would
no,
never
No, that
have
turned out
you.
To be a fake story that Michael Lombardi put out there. Yeah.
Who put it out there?
Michael Lombardi, the former GM guy who always puts out awful information that's not true.
Well,
but that wasn't true.
Out there in the sphere, though.
No, it was. It was.
You know?
There was a smear campaign saying that he was too hard to work with. That he couldn't get along with others in the organization.
Smear campaign, right.
And we come to find out, yeah, he didn't want to go along with all your plans of nefarious actions.
Well, look, you're fired after 2 years, and you had a winning season when the owner was trying to get you to do, what's the movie, George? Is it Major League, where the Cleveland Indians, Lindsay, Indians, that you're supposed to lose the games because the owner wants to move the Indians out of Cleveland, and then they all decide to, like, they've got a picture of her in the clubhouse, and for every win, they take off another piece of clothing, right? Do you guys remember this movie?
Yes, yes, of course. Mm-hmm. Everybody's seen the movie from 1989,
yes.
Scott.
Okay.
Yes.
See that, George? I watch movies. See
yes.
that? Anyway, that's Stephen Ross in this case. He wanted them to lose. He was willing
Correct.
To pay $100,000
by the way,
per game.
By the way, like, if I'm the NFL, that's a big problem, too. Like, the racism, biggest problem. Yes, no question. That they have to figure out. They're going to have to deal with the ramifications of that. Integrity of the game, also a problem. Like, not a small thing either.
Not a small thing.
No. But, both things. But huge.
But by the way, but both of them, the NFL not doing a good job, not even a decent job, not a half-assed job. They have done a horrendous job of taking qualified people who are minority candidates and finding these types of jobs for these guys. I mean, everybody points to Eric Bieniemy. Right away, they look at Eric Bieniemy, or you look at a Byron Leftwich as an example, who's been the offensive coordinator of the Buccaneers for the last couple of years. These are guys who have elevated in their industry, and what do people want? They want Sean McVay's, you know, they want his assistance. And it just so happens that the guys that they're talking about has been the guy in Cincinnati, the guy in Green Bay. Now they're talking about Kevin O'Connell, guys that have been hired. There were 8 or 9 head coaching vacancies in the NFL. I mean, is everybody keeping score about white guys versus qualified minority candidates? Because they all seem to be white guys being hired. So whether it's trying to tank so that you get a better draft choice or obviously not dealing with this racial issue, both of these stories are not surprising to anybody, are they?
No, not at all. Not at all. All right, coming up next, speaking of stories, this next story probably would have led the show on any other day. Jerry West is taking a blowtorch to the Lakers again. We'll get to that in a moment.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
By the way, where's Christopher been? We haven't had a rejoin in a minute since the beginning of the show. Like, is he?
He said he was on an important call, last-minute call.
Okay,
what could be so important? We need him.
I'm just curious. Like, you know, not that it's fine to come back with music, but it's, you know,
show must go on, George.
Yeah.
I thought my Tupac pick was pretty good, but
no, it's a great song. It's dope. I'm not disputing the song. I'm just saying it's very strange that he has chosen not to. Partake in the show. I feel like there's been moments where he could have absolutely chimed in, but if he was busy, then that's another thing.
Right. He would have done a rejoin. Like, did Kaplan just admit that he met with an old girlfriend and she told him and then he told her and then they went and did something? And then did Sedano make more bird sound effects? I mean, yeah, there was none of that. Sedano, he didn't do any of that, you know?
Yeah.
Miss him.
Yeah.
Come on, Chris. I want to get back to work.
To this Jerry West story in a second, but real quick, Laura, what happened with you today? I kind of caught this thing about on the text chat about you and needing cash, or something happened where you didn't have cash.
I came early to work and I decided to take a walk to 7-Eleven.
Oh, okay.
And I asked everybody in the studio if they wanted something, and you know, people were like, yeah, this and that, whatever. So I go, I grab what I need, and I'm like, here's my card, right? Like, tap the card, whatever. The guy's like, oh, I'm sorry, our electronic system is not working. I was like, what does that mean? And he was like, I can't take card. So I was like, okay, let me like hit the phone, right? Tap, whatever. He's like, no, I'm telling you.
The whole system
doesn't work. And I looked so dumb. And I said, so
right,
why
right.
Do you
just
want me to pay
for right.
This?
If you didn't, you figured, oh, the card doesn't work. Yeah. I can just do this, but it's all tied together.
Yeah. Yes. And I was like, I felt so dumb. And I said, okay, how do you want me to pay for this? And he goes, like, super, like, looks at me, blank look, and goes, cash. And I said, who carries cash anymore? And everybody's like, the card doesn't work? And like, seriously, like 10 people walked away. But yeah, like, who carries cash anymore? So I texted you guys and I was like, guys, this happened to me. I had to walk somewhere else. And
I don't carry cash.
Yeah, I don't carry cash.
Yeah.
Not at all. Not like not. I mean, you don't have like a dollar. Not
nothing.
$1.
First of all, there's a lot of having.
What's the point of having $1?
Yeah, like nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, seriously. What are you buying for $1?
Like, let me rephrase it then. You don't have.
What
do
you
one
buy?
Bill?
Can you even go to like Jack in the Box and get tacos for $1?
No, you can't even go
to. You can't even go to the dollar store with a dollar.
Well,
right.
Dollar Tree's not even $1 anymore.
Then we got problems.
Dollar Tree because of inflation is like $10 Tree.
All right, look, $1. Let's talk about this. A $20.
No.
$100 bill.
$100 bill? Why the hell you want to walk around with $100? You can't even get change for that anywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere it says, please have exact change due to
or pandemic. Nothing more than a 20,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know. So it's like weird.
Here's the thing, Cap. First of all, cash is dirty. Like, literally. Mm-hmm. It's filthy. Like, there's that part of the equation.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Secondly,
with a debit card.
Secondly, what I would say is, if I need cash, if I go, like, let's say I'm going somewhere, let's say a friend's in town, right? They're staying at a hotel. And I'm driving to the hotel to meet them or pick them up or whatever, or I'm going to have dinner with my wife and I are going to have dinner with these people, and they're staying at a hotel. We're going to eat by their hotel, and we're driving across town, whatever. I'll go to, like, the bank earlier in the day, pull out, like, a 20 so I can tip, like, the valet guy, maybe. You know what I'm saying? Like, in that situation, or pay for parking, right? Sometimes parking, you need cash. But even now, like, I'll give you an example. I went to a restaurant, a while back now. It was pre-Omicron. And
pre-Omicron, nice.
Well, that's kind of how we have to delineate these things.
Right.
Now.
I had not heard the pre-COVID. You know, there's been pre-COVID, but now we're breaking it down into variants. Nice job.
Yeah, well, it was pre-Omicron where things felt like it were getting settled again, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and we were headed in the right direction. And I remember going to a restaurant, and I went to this place I met a buddy of mine who was in town at a restaurant in West Hollywood. And I was like, all right, cool. And when I was leaving, I was like, oh, I don't have cash to tip the valet guy or whatever. And the waitress was like, oh, no, don't worry. They have, like, you can, like, Venmo them. I'm like,
yeah,
really?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah. And I was like, for real? So I went out to the guy. I said, yo, so the waitress told me I could, like, Venmo you, like, to pay for the parking and, like, include the tip? He's like, yeah, bro, for sure. Here's my thing. Just, you know, put the QR code. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. So is not cool. Even for that, in some places, you need cash anymore.
Here, I'll give you another
one.
Have, ready?
They have, like, business cards with their QR codes
yes,
on them.
Yes, exactly. I recently saw a band play in, like, a small club. You know, the kind of club where you put tips in the jar?
Yeah.
And instead of, like, in front of the tip jar, it had their Venmo. So you, if you wanted to tip them, you rather than having to put cash in, you could just tip them by Venmoing them. That's kind of a cool
thing.
That's
a great idea.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. I still, for some reason, I still carry some cash.
Really?
Like, and it's not a lot, maybe like, I don't know, $50. Like, I got two 20s and a 10, you know? Or I've got $100 in cash and I got five 20s. I don't know why, but I don't feel, like, I just feel like I need a couple bucks on me. So I still carry a little bit of cash.
That's kind of like an older person thing because my mom is like that. And that's kind of, you guys are on the same
My mom
page.
Is the same way. And like, I'm like, why do you do that? And she's like, because I don't like to swipe my card at the gas station.
Oh
and I'm
my
like,
God,
why?
Yes.
She's afraid that someone's going to like, steal her.
No, they're definitely at the gas station. They will clone your card. But that's why you use a credit card at the gas station.
Use a credit
so that
card
way you
always.
Can get your money back a lot easier than a debit card. Because mm-hmm. that's happened to me before.
That's
and
true.
I've never done it again after that.
I hear you, Laura. I hear you.
I mean, it wasn't a shot. It's just
no.
Truth.
I know it wasn't intended to be. I mean, okay. Put a little respect on my wallet. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, my bad.
I mean, but I just feel like for whatever reason, I always want to have just a little bit of, and yet having a little bit of cash in your wallet, I'll go someplace. I'll be like, should I give them 20 and get back $10.35, or should I just use my debit card? And then I use my debit card, and I'm like, well, why do I even have cash? I think I probably also have a couple of like big jugs of change, pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, half dollars, whatever. Do you guys have that? Do you guys have change still, old dirty change in?
No, we got all that stuff. Like I went to the bank like a year ago or something and got it all like in like.
I have
bills.
A change jar
and gave like, it to the and then whatever money we got, we just put it in like the kids' piggy bank or something.
Was it a lot?
I don't remember what it was, but.
Because I once did that. I went to a Vons and they have one of those machines. You pour all your change into it. I poured all my change in. I got a receipt for like, I was like, I got like $3,000 worth of change here. I pulled out the receipt. It was like $50, you know? Right? And then I gave it to the cashier. He's like, all right, here's your money. I'm like, wait, really? That was a lot of change.
First of all, they take so much out of what you give them. It's ridiculous. It's
Hey, we got to continue this conversation on the other side because Morales is weighing in. Steve Mason is weighing in on cash. We'll open it up to the audience. 877-710-ESPN. Do you carry cash? We got what you need to know in between. We'll be back in 2 minutes and 40 seconds.